All right, we're back again, Amy and I, here for the Effortless Provision Series. And this is part 10 for effortless marketing. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is a big one because everything we've talked about up until this point, when we're looking at provision and the effortless flow of creativity, oftentimes people wonder or they ask or they just go ahead and force something into existence, but they wonder, they ask, how can I market without feeling like I'm doing this all on my own, or the effort involved with traditional marketing, you know? So when you look at marketing in its traditional sense, what do most people do? They go out there and they buy advertising, they spend a lot of money trying to get the word out about their brand or their product or their creative creation, right? And so this is far different when you're looking at this from a kingdom perspective. It's very effortless when you engage it in the way we're going to talk about. And what comes to mind is the documentary we saw on Akiana. So she's the prodigy artist. Many of you know who she is, but some of you don't. Just look her up. Spell it A-K-I-A-N-E. And just look it up on YouTube. But we watched the documentary. She has several. Watch the one of her latest ones where she's all grown up now. She's grown up. And in the, you'll see a lot if you just discern what you're watching. And one of the main things that stood out to us was the fact that she gets lost in her creativity. She's having so much fun and so much enjoyment that there's something that takes place with heart coherence. And we have a whole message on that. If you go back into part 6 or 7 right in there, it's a message on how to have heart coherence. And when you're engaged in creativity for creativity's sake alone, and you love doing what you're doing, something happens internally to cause a magnetic flow to happen, and it gets the word out on its own. And we'll dive deep into that.
Yeah, you know, you're wired to have that built-in attraction when you're in alignment with what you're loving doing. And so there's not this efforting when you're in your zone. There's an attraction, not efforting. And this is why you have people say, I want to hear more. Like, we were just watching a repeat of Preacher Lawson on, you know, AGTV, when he was first getting noticed on there. And Mel, you know, one of the judges, was saying, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. No, don't stop. And the whole panel is standing up and they want to hear more. And we all know the difference. It's like when somebody's not gifted or anointed for something or the product they have, we just want to exit the room. You know, it's tiring. It's draining. You know, there's no juice on it. But when somebody is in alignment and their heart and brain coherence is totally tuned up, they're in the zone, we want to hear more. It's energy giving. It's life giving. It's light giving. It's what you're born to do with your gift in contributing and giving it out. And it's effortless. And so you don't have to do the marketing. You just show up through the inspired prompts to seize an opportunity. That's the difference. So, you know, you've got AGTV or The Voice, so you got all these different platforms. And we wouldn't know about Carrie Underwood or Kelly Clarkson or any of these guys unless they took that inspired leap in their gifted area. We're not saying don't do anything, don't do, you know, marketing or anything. It's just, it's the intentions of the heart. And if you're in alignment with what you love to do. If you're just doing something for money, it's going to fall flat because people can taste it. They can feel the energy and the frequency on it. Yeah. It's not life-giving. You're not having fun, so they're not having fun. And it really is a mirror dynamic. If you're loving what you're doing, that's the infectious marketing right there, because people buy passion. And I heard a quote that says, the world makes room for passionate people. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and good stuff, good points. And going back to Akiana, it's the same principle, right? She's getting lost in her artwork. And, you know, we said this before on one of the parts about Sorry about that, guys. So we're driving, and we've got some Harleys going by. Apologize for that, right in your ear. Anyway, so, you know, we talked about this before a little bit in one of the other parts, is that when she is lost in her creative flow, she says that inspiration is waiting for her. She doesn't have to wait for inspiration to come. And that's kind of like the mature end of what inspiration does. Sometimes, you know, we wait for the prompting. If we're in that level of understanding, you know, we're still growing, we're still developing in our creativity. But she's to the point now where she understands that it's always waiting for her. You know, inspiration, it's being in spirit. That's what it means. Right. And so when you're in spirit,
led by the spirit,
and you're in spirit most of the time, then you don't have to wait for it. It's true. Spirit is always waiting on you. And so when she goes into that secret place, she goes in there and creates for 12, 13, 14 hours a day, and it's not like work to her.
Yeah.
So when she's in that zone, she painted the famous Jesus painting. You know, many even know what that is, and it looks really similar to those that have had visions or have had, you know, open encounters where they've actually seen Jesus, and they say it's so close to what he looks like. Well, she's lost in her creativity. Somebody finds her on the internet because she's simply posting for the love of her creation, not posting because I've got to get $5,000 for this, or, you know, I've got to make so much money on this painting. No, she's posting because she wants to inspire others. And somebody found it, and they're like, man, I love that so much, I'm going to offer you $850,000 for the original. And so let's look at that a little closer.
Yeah.
She's lost in her creative flow. She simply posts something online for the love of it and the joy of it to inspire others. And somebody, the magnetism from Heart Coherence, draws somebody in to find her to buy the painting.
Yes, it's pretty amazing how that works. And again, it's effortless. It's effortless. She's not out there having to just market and strive. And it really is an energy dynamic game. It's found in science. And we all know when somebody's wanting something so bad, they actually push it away. You know, you can find the same reaction in water when you're pushing things away when you're struggling for it. And God didn't intend us to be doing stuff that we're just trying to struggle and want and press and force and push. And it's supposed to be easy. There's supposed to be a flow. You know, it's heaven culture. It's the fruits of the Spirit flowing out of you. And it's engaging people into the Spirit. Your inspiration is the manifestation of your inspiration is the fruit on the tree, and it's pulling people in to partake and enter into the Spirit. And so this is so powerful. It's a taste and see that God is good through you, and you get to have your own gifts and abilities and inspiration and ideas to do that. You don't have to have anybody else's. You get to authentically manifest your infused insight with the Lord. It's a co-creating with Him. And so, you know, the days of marketing really are coming to a close of the old way of doing things. It's all part of a system, you know, man-made ideas, you know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil cut off from the tree of life. And so when you're relying on reason and logic, then you're just in your head, right? And you're not going to get the full provision, and you won't be able to sustain it. So we all know the difference with marketing, too. It's like, we feel the pushback when somebody is trying to force you to buy something, or they're trying to over-convince you of why you need it. And you can already tell they've got an agenda of why they need the sale. So it's like that is louder to you than you needing to buy the product. And you can hear it. You can hear it in their tone, their body language, and all that kind of stuff. So again, remember, words are just such a small thing. Body language, the beliefs people are emanating, it's really what it comes down to. And so it's like the same in a restaurant. You can taste the beliefs emanating out of the food or out of the server or out of the, you know, you're getting a taste of the company. And so we're such big components on heart-centered solutions, heart-centered companies. And this is our heart to really get that out there, to have companies really wake up to valuing their people more. You know, John used to work with Southwest Airlines as a flight attendant, and he loved the motto that they had about taking care of their employees first and then the customers, because if you're not happy, the customers aren't going to be happy. So there's so much about that.
Yeah, it's really true about companies and what, you know, the bottom line is with profit is leading the show in most cases. And so you can really feel and taste that, like Amy said, in the food and the customer service and where the pressure is or where it isn't. And, you know, here's the thing with most people that we talk to, and we've even struggled with this in the past ourselves, is how do I make money doing what I love? And so the first reaction is, okay, I have a finished product. Now I need all eyeballs on it. I need people to come and buy it. And so the traditional sense of marketing is what you're going to have to really stay away from and say, okay, God, how do you want me to display this creation that you co-created with me? And because he always knows the shortcuts, and he knows the acceleration factor, or he knows that it's going to sell at the pace of your belief. And really, it's not God, you know, us waiting on God so much as it is him waiting on us. And what that looks like is for us to just settle into the fact that I'm living in the present moment in my creation, whether it's on the weekends or at night, if you have a full-time job and you're wondering how to make that crossover, well, don't just take a leap if you don't have the belief system to match it. If you know, this living by faith stuff, we could do a whole session on that.
Yeah.
But just to touch on it, a lot of people kind of mistake suspicion for, you know, their great desire, you know, and so they just leap out there because they're tired of waiting, and then they wonder why nothing's happening. And now it's one thing if you're being led and you're being inspired to act rather than efforted action. If you're efforting action, taking action and efforting, it means that, oh my gosh, I got to get this out there because I got to pay my bills. But if you are inspired to act, that means you're in spirit and you're being led in a restful way because you're just having fun creating. So let's look at, like, I always use the example of tacos because, you know, we like tacos, but say you want to make the best fish tacos in town, but you want to make them best because you love creating, not because you're trying to out-compete the competitor, not trying to outsell the competitor. See, that's the wrong mindset. That's an old traditional mindset that's fast fading, like Amy said. But if you're inspired to make fish tacos the best because you have an awesome recipe and you love the joy of food, you love the smile on people's faces when they taste an amazing product that you created, that's far different, you guys, than just creating something for a $5 taco because now you're calculating in your financial expertise that, okay, if I do X amount of tacos per day, then I can pay my bills. If you're already thinking that way first and foremost, then you want to back up.
Yeah.
And you want to say, okay, why am I really creating this product? Because if I'm just doing it for money, that is the wrong answer. That is an old paradigm, right? You can certainly do that if you want, but you're going to be struggling the rest of your taco days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is what's so important. You know, the Lord talked so much about the power of our belief. And it's because it's a creative substance. And your belief has pull on it. It's a drawing pull. And so if you're doing something that is not your passion and that you don't love, and you're out there trying to get it going, you're not going to have that pull of abundance because it has to be heart-centered.
Yeah.
When it's heart-centered and you are just so in love and you want other people to partake in that love, there is such a divine attraction and a divine pull of abundance. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And again, goes back to effortless provision. And this is what the Lord's saying. He doesn't want you having to struggle and strive and have it be hard. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's just saying, link up with me, listen in, take a moment, still yourself, listen in, and I'll show you the right path. I'll get your inspirational juices flowing again. I'll get you out of your head and into your heart. And if you'll just link up with me and let's do this together. You know, a while ago, Lord had showed me that our gifts are invitations to have our own unique relationship with Him, co-creating. And so that's why it's not something we should just be going out doing on our own, or even just doing it for God. He wants to do it with us. We're His co-creating expression, and it's that fusion of the two together that's creating a whole new thing on earth. And so it makes the path a whole lot easier if you'll just take that time, 10, 15 minutes, just to sit still with the Lord and allow, don't come with an agenda or a want, just rest and allow yourself to go back into that dream state, back into just rest, and it'll start percolating up again like a cork rising to the surface. It's always there. The gifts are without, what's that verse? Your gifts are without repentance, gift without reproach. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're there. It's eternal in you. So it will come back to the surface if you just take a moment to let all the stuff you piled up on it through your own reason and logic. God always has the best route. So I know you know that.
Yeah, so when you look at, let's just look at the life of Jesus when He walked the planet. You know, to be Christ-like is more than just behavioral issues, you guys. That's internal maturing that He does with us all the time. But when it comes to, some of us have a hard time of just kind of looking at ourselves and focusing on ourselves for a minute to look internally, like Amy's saying, and say, okay, where am I at right now in my inspiration? Where am I at my creativity? Is that kind of numbed out because of life and the grind? And when you stop to assess for a moment and let it percolate up, you'll find that it's never left. Your creative flow is never left. It's just the stuff that's kind of piled up on it, like she said, the everyday work. You've got children, you've got all these obligations and things. But that's why we always say, look, this is a marathon, not a sprint. He wants to do life with us moment by moment. And so when we look at, oh my gosh, you know, fear of missing out, FOMO, you know, everybody else is ahead of me. And yeah. I'm 30 years old and everybody else is way ahead of me, you know. And can I just say that 30 years old is barely starting this thing. And, you know, I say that it's like the old saying, you shouldn't really even write a book or even think about writing a book till you're about 40. And there's some truth in that, because you've lived life a little. And some of you have lived two lifetimes when you're 25, I understand. But I think there's some truth in that, meaning that, you know, the experience factor and walking with the Lord a little bit so that we can settle in to the rhythms and flows of the ebbs and flows of life and how He operates. And really, He's looking for a marathon stick-to-itiveness in the way that we create with Him. You know, like Akiana, it doesn't happen overnight where she paints these beautiful paintings. Some of them take months. But the point is she's in love with doing it. And so months seems like minutes for her because she's lost in it. And so like Amy said, if you're doing something just for the money to get out of your situation, this is where we find ourselves even more frustrated, because we're grinding it out. We wonder why it's not flowing. We wonder why it's not working. And so we often say is, hey, at night or on the weekends, if you have a full-time job that you don't really care for, at night or on the weekends, it's not called a side hustle. We want to get out of that terminology. Okay? What it's called is, hey, I'm going to wait for inspiration if I have to wait for it, it's always waiting for you, you know that. But if you have to wait for it, then let it percolate up by you sitting still after work. Let just kind of rest it for a minute and you know, let things have some downtime. And then think about that piece of art. Think about that graphic design, whatever it is, the shop, the wood shop. And then go out there for an hour and then watch what happens. Inspiration is waiting for you. And when it does, before you know it, if you do one, we've always said this, if you do one little thing every day, you've done 365 little things in 1 year. What could that culminate to?
Yeah, exactly. It's the great unfolding. And this is what's so huge for all of us, especially us achievers and go-getters, is we really got to give ourselves grace to allow for the greater picture to unfold, instead of being so staunch on what we think we know it is in the beginning and not and becoming so rigid that we don't leave any room for God to expand us and bring in, you know, components that we didn't know that we needed. And, you know, we heard it said, so many people just fold the cards on their dream. They just fold. They're like, ah, forget it. See, my dream didn't happen. I'm older now. And so I just got to settle in. I just got to, you know, settle. And don't fold. Just allow life to unfold for you. There's an unpacking, petal by petal. Things are unrolling here for you. If you'll just take the next step in each day that unfolds, God always has something for you in each day. Instead of getting overwhelmed, all the things you think you need to get out there and market and get done to make this thing happen, there's always something each day that God's saying, okay, here's the next step. This is how life, if you want a really happy life, is to really just allow and look for the next unfolding step. And you take a step, God takes a step. You take a step, God takes a step. It's a walk. It's a dance. It's not this hustle and rush. So the other day, the Lord is just reminding me, just stay in his hold. And life is about the leads and prompts of him. And all you got to do is relax into his hold and feel those prompts. Feel being led by him. And he'll dance you right into the divine connections you need, right into the opportunities, right into the different moves and relocations. And so it's really getting tuned in to feel those leads and prompts and acting on them. Those are inspired actions.
Yeah. What happens when you stiffen up or you jerk away from his lead?
Yeah. Then everything stops. If you stiffen up and you go back into your reason and logic, then the dance stops until you come back into his hold and you yield, surrender, and rest and play again.
Yeah, and that's a great analogy. We were talking about this the other day, and it was just a picture of this. It's just amazing when you're looking at, you know, marketing, okay? You know, the dance is so important. Perichoresis is what, you know, the term that guys, you know, have talked about in the past, and they've started bringing this out more so about the Trinity dance, that the three in one and dancing with you. It's like we're in them and they're in us. The Godhead is in you. You're in them. We're one. It's about oneness. And when it's about oneness, it is about his lead, though, because he knows stuff around the corner that we can't see. And when we're in that hold, what happens in the natural when you're dancing? If you tighten up or you pull away because you don't like what's happening with the lead and you're stubborn or you want to do it your way,
you get your foot stepped on.
Then you get your foot stepped on, and there's no rhythm and there's no flow. So when we're looking at effortless marketing, if you notice that there's no flow, then it's time to let the leader lead. Yeah. It's time to go back into the sinking into oneness and allow him to lead. And oftentimes we get so pressured because of society, and we get impatient because, after all, it hasn't happened for 30 years, and so I'm just done waiting. So I'm going to go out and hustle it up and make it happen. And really, a lot of religion teaches this, you know, the Seven Mountain Theology and all of that. Although they're good elements, it teaches us to go rush up the mountain and climb and hustle and all of that, to where we're kind of like, okay, well, I did a teaching a while back. Well, Jesus is still left at base camp whistling Dixie, waiting for you to return, because he wasn't leading. And that's another important part, you guys. Let's talk about this again. Is, man, if you're running for public office or you're going into a business just, again, for the money, for the prestige, for the fame, or just because you've got to do something to change society for the better, I would, you know, we both would highly suggest waiting on the lead, because it could just be your anxiousness, your wanting to do a good thing, but yet you're not quite there yet in your oneness with creativity in him,
and your ego's
leading the show. Yeah, instead of your spirit being inspired. And so a lot of this political action that we see nowadays is really efforted action. Although they might have good hearts in it, it's effort. And because you see people run for Congress, right? Just an example. And then they fall on their face because they were never led that way. Because they had, you know, they may have had good intentions, but you don't want to waste a lot of time, right? None of us do. We don't want to waste time in the grind, efforting where we're not being led to it through inspired action. And so when we're talking about marketing, look at the life of Jesus, back to that. When he walked the earth and he had miracles flow, everything was effortless for him, because when you are in heart brain coherence, yeah, and you're linked up with the Wi-Fi signal, it means that you're moving in unconditional love.
You're listening and watching.
Listening, like watching, and moving and on those prompts. I only see you do those things like my father does, right? And so when you're only doing those things, you're linked up with the Wi-Fi signal. And then this magnetism starts spreading out further and further in this magnetic field that surrounds our bodies. And that's the very shadow that was cast that healed people off of Peter and all the rest, right? So Jesus had this operating in him 24/7.
Unconventional.
Unconventional and unconditional. When you walk in that level, well, guess what? You're going to have effortless, quote, marketing. You know, if Jesus was a brand...
Yeah.
Think about that. If Jesus was a brand, he was the most successful brand there ever was. Why was he successful? He died early, John. How can you say that he was successful? No, he was successful in doing the Father's will. And the Father's will is simply living in heart and brain coherence every moment of the day. And we're, you know, it's a growth, it's an understanding, it's growing in those things.
Yeah.
And so when you grow then you understand, you become aware that, wait a minute, there really is an effortless ability that God is wanting to show us all the time, but we're so conditioned to effort.
Right. And even defend our position. You know, if you're trying in your own strength to do stuff, then you're on guard all the time and you're trying to defend your position with people or force again, where when you're in spirit and you're connected up, those things will diffuse around you, because you're operating at a higher vibration. You're operating, you're bringing them into the bubble, so to speak. They come into a whole different atmosphere when they get around you, and it diffuses them. It's the same like with Jesus. You know, the soldiers were sent in to capture him and report back to the Pharisees, remember? And they came in and they started hearing him talk, him being him, and they were melting. And they came back and said, "We've never heard anybody speak the way he speaks." They were captivated. And that's the thing. When you're in your anointing and you're hooked up with the Lord, you are captivating. It captivates the audience. It's not your own effort. It's the presence around you doing it. Yeah. It's God showing you, look, I've got this thing. And you don't have to go out and try to convince people. You don't have to go out and try to convince your worst enemy.
Right.
The atmosphere of God's presence and all the angels and all the unseen operating around you is doing it for you. As long as you stay tuned in and centered, doing what you're called to do and at rest.
Even that. Remember, we're really starting to, and I know we use this terminology, we all do, but we're starting to look at the word calling again. And we're rethinking it. And not in the sense that it's a bad word or a bad thing, but in the sense that some people think their calling is one thing and then they get pigeonholed into it. And where we need to keep this in mind is, guys, we're always being unraveled and we're always growing in maturity in levels of understanding. And so maybe you thought your call in religion was to be a pastor, okay? And then you grew up a little.
You awakened more.
You awakened more. And you matured more, and then you're like, well, wait a minute, maybe I just felt like I wanted to help people, so I thought that that was the natural thing to do, yeah. But then you realized, well, wait a minute, I'm really a counselor, so you went into some kind of counseling thing, or you know, whatever,
or
it could
nursing,
be, or nursing, yeah, or you went into healthcare, and there's a number of things, right, not just a pigeonholed pastor.
That's right.
Yeah, and so we're relooking and rethinking a lot of things right now because God is unveiling some amazing truths in this time we're in.
Yeah, and this is why it's so important if you've been in the arena where you've gotten prophesied over a lot. Prophecy is an amazing gift. We honor it. We prophesy ourselves and all that kind of stuff, but it's so important you take it back to the Lord. Don't just camp on what that person said, because remember, they're hearing God through their own filter when they're prophesying to you. So the terms they would use, like ministry, or I see you as a pastor, or I see you, you know, in business or whatever, they're using the vocabulary they have to describe what they're picking up from God. But it's so important you take that to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm hearing this in a general sense from them. What are you saying is specifically for me out of this? Because just like John's saying, you know, they could see you with a pastoral anointing, but God may want to use that anointing in a different arena to be a pastoral figure to a basketball team, or to a counseling group, or in the medical field, or as a chef. These gifts don't have to be put in a small box, you know, or in the box of religion. These are eternal gifts expressing His heart. And so, you know, the Lord's not boring. He is not in the box. He's always out of the box. And so He's wanting to expand these gifts beyond just the church, you know.
He's not religious.
He's not religious. And so we're just saying, don't cookie cutter yourself. Don't allow somebody to put you in that cookie cutter. Or don't see yourself, okay, well, I'm called to a pastor, so now I better start watching all these other pastors to see how they do it.
Yeah.
That's efforting
right
there. That's
a huge one.
That's reason and logic. That's edging God out. When God's saying, hold up now, I'm going to save you a whole lot of pain and 10 years of trauma if you go that route, if you just listen in and pave a new path, I want you to pave forward with this gift.
Yeah, she touched on it. We're going to go a little bit longer on this one because it's such a huge, we're so passionate about this area, but it's such a huge topic. You know, she just touched on something too that is really, I think it could be said that people are just really done with and tired of cloning. And when we see the cookie cutter mentality of, you know, people watching other preachers and then they have the voice inflections that sound like them, or they have the same kind of lingo, the same kind of facial expressions and voice inflections, all that stuff, right? And then we're like, oh no, they don't know who they are. You know, you sit there and think that, right? You're not trying to judge. It's just like, oh wow, they don't know who they are yet. Because anytime we copycat, we don't really know our identity yet. We really don't. I mean, and that's okay if you're doing that as you're growing, but then you become self-aware, like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, maybe I'm acting too. You ever see it's kind of comical, but you ever see the worship leaders or pastors, and then those that admire them, they start dressing like them. They start wearing the same kind of knit hats, shirts and suits and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's okay to a degree because you admire them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that initially. I mean, if you're just kind of admire someone, but when it gets into year after year and then you become a clone or a copycat, This is where there's a lack of identity. And the truly unique, authentic self is just crying to get out. It's screaming to get out, really, to say, wait a minute, I have so much more for you by way of authentic expression that is unique. And guess what? Will cause greater influence to happen, greater heart magnetism to flow, and it'll start drawing in that effortless ability. Yeah. So people that are true and authentic and genuine to themselves and know who they are, they don't even care about marketing. They don't care about trying to be like somebody else because they're lost in their creativity. And when they're lost in the fun of it and in the joy of it, people come and seek them out.
Yes, yes. And this is so right on, because John and I were just recalling Brother Lawrence just the other day. You know, he he used to hate the dishes, right? He hated the kitchen. And then he finally surrendered, okay, Lord, if this is where you want me or this is where you have me the rest of my life, so be it. And because he wanted to be out doing stuff, right? And so, but he surrendered and took the higher path with the Lord. And we're not saying surrender to something, you know, you got to be led by the Lord. If the Lord's telling you to stay, stay. If he's telling you to go and you're not going, that's a whole different story. But anyway, the principle here is people came to him, you know? So it doesn't matter where you are. This is what the Lord told me the other day. He goes, what if alignment is an inside job, not an outward thing? And it's really what it comes down to. It's always the heart first. That's ground zero, is where you're at in your heart. Are you in a state of trust and surrender and listening and flowing out of that? Or are you in a heart? Or are you in a brain work of the mind of efforting, trying to get yourself out like Joseph and having to stay longer than you were supposed to or needed to? But, and I just want to encourage you on one other thing too, is that, and again, with Brother Lawrence, things will come to you as you stay in your anointing. You don't have to go out and you don't have to try to market and all that kind of stuff. So, for you pioneers, I just want to encourage you with this too. If you've got an idea and you're like, well, I don't know, you know, this has never been done before, but this thing keeps coming back to me, and you tell other people and they're just like, well, I don't know if that's going to work, because they have a grid that, you know, well, it's never been done before. But here's the thing. If you're feeling this thing you need to step out and create, or this idea that hasn't been done yet, sure enough, there is an audience out there waiting for it. This is the thing. You don't have to worry about if there's an audience or not. If it's welling up in your spirit and the idea is coming, then there's a pull. That means people are crying out for this thing that you've been entrusted with, and you need to put it out there, and they're going to come. They're going to come like bees to honey, because there's an unseen voice out there pulling the gift that's within you to manifest.
So good. It is so good. And the more we grow, the more our level of understanding moves through its levels. We just use that terminology, but it's, you know, maturing, you know, growing up, however you want to say it, or becoming aware. Awareness is huge. Okay. When we become aware of, okay, where we're at right now, and the layers of conditioning coming off, and we start seeing things for what they are in the moment we're at, then we can see, oh, wait a minute, my desires are changing too. For example, we've had, I can't tell you how many words we've given to people where it was contrary to where they were at. And for example, I gave a word over a young woman that, she played instruments, right? But I said there's a violin, and it's like shining, it's pulsating, it's like it's near and right here. That, have you ever thought about playing violin? She's like, no, I never thought of that. And I was like, okay, well, you might want to consider that, because it's a main instrument in your life, and you just talk to the Lord about that. Anyway, she didn't see it. Why? Because of where she's at in her level of understanding, where she's at in her growth cycle, where she's at in her awareness. And that's okay. I mean, many of us have had situations like that where we just don't quite see it. But then later on, she saw it, like down the road. She goes, oh, man, I just have this desire to play, you know. there's several stories we can tell you about that. Another one, and he's probably going to listen to this. Another one of a man. He's a worship leader, and we prophesied over him about Nashville and going and playing in Nashville and being around stars like Brad Paisley and how he was going to influence them. And he's like, "What? I don't see that," you know. But there again, we don't know what we don't know. But see, when you have insight by the Spirit, in spirit, and you speak to somebody's spirit, and their soul is in the way, or their soul is still in this level of understanding of how they think it should be, then that word ignites and opens up and unveils something that they never saw before. So watch what happens with the desire starting to come as life unfolds. And I guarantee it will with him. And then it'll begin to make sense. He'll begin to see it. They both will, husband and wife. They'll begin to see it. Oh, that's what that meant. Or that's what that's about. Okay, so be open to growth. Be open to your paradigm shifting. Be open to the conditioning falling off so that you can see what's going on in spirit and what's really happening there. So in wrapping this up, let's recap just a minute to look at, okay, some practical steps. Say you're in the middle of a project. You have some things you've created. Whatever it is, it can be 100,000, million things, different things, different genres, different industries, or whatever you feel that you're called to, and you're really passionate about it, and it keeps coming to the forefront in your life. Then the first thing to do is go in and just wait and soak. And just wait and let things percolate up. And like Amy said, let it unfold, the next step. The greatest business plan in the kingdom is the unfolding business plan. Letting it unfold moment by moment, step by step. Why? Because when you plan for a year out, 5 years out, 10 years out, you're planning right now in this level of understanding. And yeah. I guarantee in a year from now, your level of understanding is your awareness, your paradigm is going to shift.
Yeah.
And when it does, guess what? That plan changes. So it's good to have goals and things, but hold on to them loosely to live in the present moment and then let it unfold. And you're going to begin to see some wonderful things. If you're tempted to spend a lot of money for marketing, then sit back a little bit and say, is this efforted action or is this inspired? Because sometimes the Lord may lead you to put some money out on something, but we still don't believe it's the highest way. Unless, of course, he asks you to do that, right? Just like working for somebody else isn't really an ideal situation unless God has called you to that. I think more people than not should be in the entrepreneurial field or creating something with their hands, right? Just like the Bible says, create something with your hands. Anyway, so let that unfold as you're lost in your creativity and let it overtake you. Let people come, and I guarantee it, somebody's going to seek you out and want what you have.
Yeah, you know, it's And we're not saying, you know, don't step out and do the marketing. Again, this is a matter of being led by the Lord. And so he'll prompt you, you know, for opportunities. Hey, consider getting onto YouTube. Consider getting onto doing a podcast. There's so many great free platforms out there. So, again, feel it out. Does this feel light or does this feel heavy? Am I trying to force this thing or am I being compelled? And you'll know the right stream to be in for it. So, because I know some people get confused. They're just like, well, do I just not do anything? And again, stay out of your head now. This isn't about, you know, that. It's what's unfolding before you. What are you feeling prompted to step into and engage? And once you do, allow that thing to unfold and step into the next thing. You don't have to have the whole plan figured out. Otherwise, we limit the Lord what he's wanting to bring into us. So, again, it's the great unfolding. So have fun, relax into it, and keep learning and working with the Lord. And you're just going to expand and be blown away at what life really has in store for you.
All right. So a lot more we could say, but, you know, we've got to wrap it up somewhere. We'll be talking a lot more about this as we go. So chime into the podcast. Please share the podcast with others if you feel inspired to. And we'd love to hear your feedback, okay? So look for more editions. We're going to wrap up this 10-part series as it stands right now, but then we'll be talking about effortless provision a lot as we go. All right. Thank you so much.